lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and Janice.
And this is Song Talk Radio for May the 3rd, 2016, live on CJRU 1280 AM, the Scope at Ryerson in Toronto, Canada. Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Songwriters can be fresh newbies or established professionals. During the show, we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together, we all become just a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the quote-unquote Crayola members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team.
What is Crayola? What
Crayola.
Wait for it. It's a crayon.
Burnt Umber Bruce.
Ah, you used to call me on your cell phone.
Fuzzy Wuzzy Phil, and Fuzzy Wuzzy
is that a color?
It is a color. It is a shade. It's a shade.
What?
It's sort of bluish purple.
Perfect. That's your color.
Is it?
I think everybody can see that tonight.
I think so.
Fuzzy Wuzzy Phil, and filling in for Janice Ho, we're taking on our onslaught of social media, Neon Carrot Nicole.
Hey, Nicole!
Neon Carrot.
Neon Carrot is a color, too.
Oh, I imagine it is.
I guess it's like bright orange.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks for covering for the social media stuff tonight, Nicole.
And, of course, we need to sort of send a shout-out to Janice, who's just getting over a little bit of a cold.
Hopefully. Feel better, Janice.
Yeah, welcome back from Peru.
Yeah, she's getting over her travels bug.
Yes.
Okay, and don't forget, we always love hearing from you, so please send your thoughts, complaints, corrections, and care packages to feedback@songtalk.ca. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, and please subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review. Finally, don't forget to stop by our website at songtalk.ca to listen to archives of the show, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and check out our Resources for Songwriters page. You can also submit your song to become a guest on the show. And speaking of guests, segue, tonight we are joined once again by our good friend Sonia Seiler. Music has always been a part of the foundation of Sonia's life. As a youngster, she studied classical music, graduating to opera and enjoying passionate forays into musical theater and jazz. A recent love affair with classic country and folk roots has influenced her own songs, along with a deep appreciation for the power of music and lyric to express what her heart otherwise struggles to communicate. She is currently working on her first EP. Welcome back to Song Talk Radio, Sonia.
Welcome, Sonia.
Awesome to have you back.
Thank you for being here.
You've been on the show a couple of times in a number of different capacities, I think.
Yes, I have.
As a guest and as a co-host once.
Yes, I co-hosted for your...
For my show, that's right, because we collaborated on that song. That was cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you've been writing for some time. Quite some time.
Yes, over a year now.
You've been writing?
I've been writing ardently for over a year now.
Okay.
But before that, perhaps more sporadically.
Oh, okay. Here, I thought you were been writing for much longer than that, because your stuff kind of
You've written for other kinds of music, like for musical theater in the past, right? Mostly with piano. But your ardent writing's been on with the guitar and in this new vein.
New country phase of mine.
Yeah, it suits you so well.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
The country phase, yeah, okay. So the past year then is what the EP is about.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it's about.
How do you find writing on the guitar versus writing on the piano?
Well, I found it on the piano. I was maybe set in a pattern. I think from the stuff I've been writing before, I'd taken a few lessons to get better so I could accompany myself, and then I didn't grow beyond that on the piano, so I was sort of stuck with how I was playing the chords and how I was framing the music.
Oh, really?
And then I started going to more open mics, and a lot of the open mics don't have pianos, first of all, or keyboards. And secondly, if they do, they're usually out of tune, honky-tonk, you know? So, and I really wanted to get out and perform more publicly, so I thought, why not pick up my guitar again? And when I did, I wrote a song on it, and it completely changed how I was singing, and the lyrics and the mood of the song changed, and I found it was really suiting where I was at personally in my own life. So the songs came through the guitar in a way that the piano couldn't necessarily communicate.
That's interesting, because I always thought your piano playing was actually very, very good and quite
it was unique.
Complicated. Yeah, I mean, because of your classical background, but it's interesting how you felt that you sort of plateaued.
Yeah, well, I think I wanted to get more towards something honest, and I find that that came automatically because of my lack of experience with the guitar.
There's something to be said about that, yeah.
Yeah, so it really meant that I wasn't doing weird sort of chord configurations and that kind of thing. I was doing more simple kind of stuff, which lent itself more to that sort of country folky style, and then the words became more important, and I found that mm-hmm. it was really working for me in that
That's
regard.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe that's why my songs are honest, because I'm a lousy guitar player. No, I reached a plateau on guitar where I basically can accompany myself.
Well, no,
but it is a different feeling for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The instrument, like some of our guests have said, they use different guitars to have a different songwriting.
Yes,
mode,
that's
like
true.
Electric.
Each guitar wants to do something.
Yeah.
Actually, you know,
yeah.
Each instrument wants to do something with you. You know, with you.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And yeah, and I think if you ever get stuck in a rut, the best thing to do is actually to pick up an instrument, even if you don't know how to play it,
mm-hmm.
like a guitar or ukulele or something,
mm-hmm.
and just to kind of get yourself out of that sort of, I know where my hands go automatically.
Gets
you know?
Different synapses firing, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a guitarist, if you get stuck on as a guitarist, you can actually try different tunings. And that's something that Joni Mitchell does a lot, because she would find herself getting stuck, so she would just do these random tunings and then start kind of exploring and finding new things.
But additionally, as songwriters and as musicians, we are always concerned primarily with one side or the other, the music side or the lyric side. Like even if you're somewhere in between and balanced on both, there's usually one side that's heavier weighted.
For the skill, you mean?
In terms of what you feel is more important.
Okay.
And what you bring out as the more important element.
Well, what is it for you, Sonia?
Definitely the lyrics, I would say.
Yeah.
I love words. I'm a word nerd. So,
yeah.
And I love the way that they can communicate things. And then you add the music on top of it.
Do you write the words first? Are you writing the words first now? Or were you? Has it always been the case? Or
I would say it's more of like a percolating kind of thing that happens in the background. Like there's a concept that starts in the back of my mind. And I have this image of like a pot. And then like on a stove in my head. And then the concept will come, and I'll put that in the pot, and I'll let it stew for a while. And then I just have this sort of thing that comes over me where I'm like, I'm ready to write this song now. And I sit down, and a couple hours later, bang it out. And I find that lyrics usually come first, and then like maybe a line or two, and then I'll add melody to them. And then the melody will dictate where the rest of the lyrics go, and they sort of share that space. It's
and
collaborative.
Was that process kind of similar when you were writing on piano?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's been that way ever since I started writing songs.
Do you find the melody on the guitar, or you just play some chords and the melody rises out of that?
I've actually done it now without any instruments to start with, so that I'm not always, because my hand instinctively on the guitar, because it's the first chord I learned, it always goes to the G. And that's not saying like those songs I'm playing tonight are actually starting on the G. So
it's a fine chord.
It's a great chord.
It's one of the best ever written.
Really. Yes. Yeah. So, but no, I found that it's made me more experimental, and it's let me find different sounds and different notes and different melodic styles if I actually just sing what comes to mind in my head and then find the chords.
How do you hold on to the tune? Just use a recorder?
I use my iPhone. Yeah.
Okay.
I use voice memo.
The iPhone's popular. Yeah. Just
so
a voice memo. Yeah.
I have like a lot of like stored voice memos that are, and usually the ideas will come early in the morning. So it's like my morning voice, and it's like, and it's really like faint, and it's amusing to listen back.
Have you tried the Music Memos app that Apple's put out? You should, because it actually is made for people doing, you know, song ideas, and it lets you actually tag your ideas with chorus and verse and things. It's really intelligent. It's really well done, actually. And it's free.
Check it out.
And it's free.
That's a really interesting tip, because what you've done is you recognize that you always kind of go to the same place if you start with guitar. So why not start with something different, whether it's melody or whether it's lyric? That's a good thing to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were saying too that you found yourself in the same rut when you were playing on the piano, right?
Yeah.
And also the whole concept of the morning, like you know, think of the Artist's Way book and process, is the morning pages. And who's the writer of that?
Julia Cameron.
Yeah, Julia Cameron, my heroine. she suggests getting up first thing in the morning before you get to breakfast and all that other stuff, walk the dog, and put down 3 pages of longhand. Just blurt it all out. And that's how my songwriting got started several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's this magic there's this magic hour between waking and sleeping. It's a half-wake sleep. Some of us go through the whole day, and some days I'm just like that. I'm half awake or half asleep. But there is that magic moment where things can come out that are not, I call it the editor's not up yet. Mm-hmm. The critic hasn't woken up yet. Mm-hmm. So it's just this kind of dreamlike thing. So it's really good to have a pad and pen or your iPhone beside your bed. And if something, you know, something occurs to you, that may be something you can't capture later on. Grab it.
I've heard of this exercise, like the I think one of our guests was talking about the object writing exercise, where you just
Pat Pattison.
It probably came from something Pat Pattison talked about, but you just you're given a word, whether it's through a website or something like that, and then you just riff on that word for a page or something.
Oh yeah,
like
I did a creative writing workshop like that. We did improv writing, so I'd say to the class a situation. A place, a person, a character, and a mood, right? So one was a woman alone at a phone booth at midnight, it's raining. And then everybody did their own story. Unbelievable. Like, it's very exciting. We should do that one night, just
on a
show.
That's an interesting idea.
Just do an
idea.
Improv writing session, and we'll just all jot down what lyrics come up for us and, you know, get some friends in here and play guitar.
That's right. And we have actually one of the Pat Pattison books on a resources page. So you should check
on the website.
On the website. So it's one you should definitely pick up because it's well worth the money.
Good.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, are we going to hear perhaps a song? Or,
I just want to ask Sonia one other question about about your lyrics. I found when you're writing your piano songs, your lyrics were much more abstract. And so what was behind, and now they're a little more straightforward.
Yeah, so I actually don't think it's between the piano. I don't think it has anything to do with the instruments. I think it has to do with things that are going on in my life. Such that I got some feedback and I made some musical connections with friends where they weren't resonating as much with the abstract lyrics. And it's not to say that they were bad or anything like that, but it was more like, what are you really feeling? How are you really expressing it in a way that your audience can understand and relate? Because maybe the abstract kind of songs need more than one listen in order to really get it or on that kind of level.
That is so interesting. I never thought of your songs as being abstract.
Yeah, I guess maybe a bit more poetic and metaphorical.
Her earlier ones, like the last time she was on the show,
the
piano-based ones
the
were kind of
and the,
There's a lot of metaphor, a lot of imagery.
Yeah,
very strong imagery.
But I don't think they're.
They weren't obtuse.
No, they're not obtuse, and they're not veiled. Like I didn't ever get a sense that you were hiding behind your lyrics, your honesty, your truth. However, going into country, folk, whatever that place you're moving, moves you into that place where.
Storytelling.
Simple, straightforward storytelling.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I would call the songs you're writing before like more an art, an artistic expression, more like a Paul Simon, like a poetical songwriter, as opposed to a storyteller. And well, I like both your songs. You're going to hear the storyteller, Sonia, tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we hear the first one? Do you want to, this is called Your Magic Woman?
It is called Your Magic Woman.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it's about? Or?
Sure, I just wrote this last week. Both of the songs I'm bringing in tonight, I just wrote. It's fresh because I was trying to decide what to bring in here, and I thought maybe for the listeners and myself included, bringing something in that's fresh might be exciting.
There's a nice new song smell.
Song smell in the room.
And you'll be open to some feedback because I guess it's kind of fresh.
Yes. Apart from my playing it at a late night open mic last night, nobody else has heard these songs. So
all right, great.
Now the world can.
The radio debut.
Radio debut of Your Magic Woman.
I don't want to be your magic woman, your muse or the thread for your tears. I've known from the start I've got a place in your heart, but I'm not here to make any repairs. My daddy thought I was magic. My whole life I bent to his whim. He used me to fill a hole in his heart, 'cause someone had done that to him. Don't wanna be the answer to your question. your rock or your light in the dark. Don't wanna be the fire that sets you ablaze, but if you're open, I might be the spark. I don't wanna be your magic woman. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Don't want to be the thing that makes you happy. You're drunk. All you need to fulfill. Don't wanna be the lifeboat that keeps you afloat when your demons move in for the kill. Your daddy didn't know how to love you. He left, or he left you alone. It's the kind of a space my love cannot erase, though the trying is all that I've known. I don't wanna be your magic woman. And I wanna know your heart. Be the lover of your scars, the guardian of your solitude in this togetherness of ours. I wanna feel the heat, wanna feel you skin on skin. I wanna know your secrets, I wanna be let in. But I don't wanna be your magic woman. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh,
oh. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Beautiful. Ooh. Beautiful.
Fantastic.
That was Your Magic Woman, written and performed by Sonia Seiler. You're listening to Song Talk Radio on 1280 AM CJRU, The Scope at Ryerson.
We got a tweet in from Janice. So lovely to hear your voice again. And new music, Sonia. Captivating as always. And a tweet from Eric. Looking forward to this one. Yay.
Hi, guys.
Friends of Sonia. That was very nice. That was beautiful.
Brilliant song.
I have a crazy, kooky idea right off the top, though.
Hit me with it, Bruce.
Okay. Push the tempo.
Okay.
Like, that. What it feels like is it's got a really slow, steady movement to it, right? Mm-hmm. And it has that kind of feeling of resignation or under rather than over the feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a powerful song. Mm-hmm. And would you indulge me just to try it a little faster?
Absolutely.
Just, and I'm not thinking necessarily like I'm hearing drums. I don't mean like a straight ahead rock song, but
mm-hmm. Subtly.
Just like that. Go ahead.
Don't wanna be your magic woman. Your muse are the thread for your test.
Yeah, it's got a 3/4.
I've known from the start I got a place in your heart.
Yeah.
Sounds more country that way.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the 3/4 a little stronger. When you play that that slowly, you're missing the 3/4 feel.
That's true.
And also, I think just from a sense of where the person is at, this character, saying, I don't want to be that. I'm not going to be this, but I might be this. And I'm not going to be fixing you. I'm not going to fill a hole in your heart. You've got your own issues. I'm not going to fix them. I'm tired of doing that. I did that with my father, right? I'm done. It's a defiant. It's a defiant move on song.
Yeah.
And I think it needs more more grit in the guitar, more tempo and more grit in the guitar. It's a very almost not there guitar part. And I was hearing like violin, beautiful violin in the background
like
there maybe.
Part,
But also some, hand it over to Neil on drums, but some tasty rhythm section happening there, you know, where your heart starts beating and you're feeling this woman saying, this isn't going to happen anymore. I'm done. Right?
You see, I will disagree with you, sir.
Please do. Please do.
Yes, because I think, you know, we were talking about sort of a friend of the show, Addie, who's going to be on our show a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah,
on the 17th,
And she had a song about pouring whiskey down, you know, destroying your car, pouring whiskey down the drain. That would be good for that kind of treatment. But I think this is actually a really sort of internal, very vulnerable song. And I think actually the pulling up the tempo actually kind of dulls that a bit.
All right, me, you know. Yeah, well, that's another point of view. Not necessarily right or anything. But
no, maybe there's a happy medium.
No.
This is exactly why we have three of us in the room, because I tend to agree with Bruce.
Well, we don't.
And
need
so someone
to
has to be right, so that needs
no,
to be
No, we don't worry about right or wrong. The thing is that it was very much of the flavor of Leonard Cohen. I mean, it's sort of like Jennifer Warren singing Leonard Cohen, right? And that's the biggest compliment I can give you, because Leonard Cohen songs, you have not gotten away from imagery this beautiful. I don't want to be the lifeboat that keeps you afloat when demons move in for the kill.
I mean,
you can't
bit.
Help but write beautifully.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You're light in the dark. You're rock. I don't want to be the fire that sets you ablaze. I might be the spark, though.
I love that line. I don't want to be the fire that sets you ablaze, but if you're open, I might be the spark. I love that.
Beautiful.
That is great.
You can't help it. You see, you're just a masterful lyricist.
Thank you.
You know, there is in your last stanza where you say, I want to feel the heat and feel your skin on skin. That is the only part that sounded a bit awkward. Like it just, like everything else flowed and was like a perfect song. And that little bit just sort of didn't feel like it's not quite there yet.
Like the melody of it?
No, I thought the melody was fine. It was
just the
lyrics.
Bridge, right? You're talking about the bridge.
Just that part of the bridge or the whole bridge?
Mostly the second half of the bridge. I just felt that it wasn't complete. Like everything else, like you have, like basically, you have a perfect song with every phrase and every line is and consonant is placed perfectly. And that just sort of, and the problem was that part stuck out because it wasn't as good as the rest. It just didn't feel quite as smooth for some
reason. And you've repeated a thought in the bridge, right? You start with, I want to know your heart, be the love of your scars. Guard your solitude and the togetherness, and then heat, sin on sin, secrets, right? It's the same message, but I think the second time you say it is not as eloquent as the first time. So maybe you could just, well, it's something to look at. I agree that those lyrics of all the rest, the second half of the bridge, could use a little more of your magic.
Okay.
Yeah, to bring it. It is such a beautiful song. I love the going back to the father and the relationship there, because then it starts to have this depth of psychology, depth of feeling, right? For the connection, the connection we do seem to pick people who represent our parents before we've worked out what we want to work out, right? I'm just speaking for myself. I've had these crazy...
For me, too, Bruce.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't have written the song if that wasn't
the case. We're together on
that
one. Shake a hand there. Yeah, I mean, it's resonant. It resonates that way.
Oh, we got another... tweet in. We got lots of tweets today from Eric. That was amazing. How do you keep up this pace of writing?
How do you keep up the pace of writing? Oh, you don't work all week.
That's part of it.
Is that a secret?
No. I have a schedule that's amenable to writing.
You have a flexible schedule.
And I just have been in a creative zone lately. That's all I can say. I've been working through a lot of personal stuff, and when that comes, there's songs there. And that's one of my ways of being therapeutic.
Do you write more songs or better songs when you're breaking up with someone or in the middle where it's great?
Oh, no, I haven't had very many middles where
it's
great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, put her there, partner. Up, so. Yeah, I hear your pain.
You got another tweet from Eric Sorensen. Faster pace is more groovy. Slower pace is more emotional impact.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I hear you. Yeah, it was just verging on the dirge. And, you know, just because it was so hesitant and soft. So I could stand corrected. I'd like to hear it again.
And tweet in from Heather. I haven't heard your previous work, but country fits you perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Heather.
So I would tend to agree with Bruce on the tempo thing. Just push it. It doesn't have to be grooving and rocking.
No. Right.
It just has to, but the way that the you're right, Bruce, about the 3-4 tempo coming into it, like the 3-4 feel, that I think helped. Like in terms of just having it move along a little bit better. It's not like right now it's a stream that's just trickling, and it doesn't have to be a gushing river. It just has to be a steady flowing.
And you're playing stream. A bit behind the beat, wasn't she?
Yeah,
like it's like just behind the beat.
Yeah.
where it could be just right on the beat at a similar tempo. Anyway, enough about tempo.
Yeah. Okay. And the second point I would make, I really like the overall sentiment of it. That you know, I think I can speak for myself. But I think a lot of people have been in that situation where you're in a relationship where the one party is really looking for the other one to be their savior, right? And that's not a very healthy place to be.
That's called the first marriage.
Yeah, it's called the first marriage, exactly. Right?
Everybody relate to that?
Yeah, and it's not a very healthy place to be either way. So the sentiment that you're putting out there that I'm not going to do this and it's not good for me, that's a really great idea. And like we were saying, the imagery is very powerful and everything. I would echo what Phil's saying about the bridge. I found that the bridge was a little bit, I think just weaker. I don't know. I mean, it needs to be a little bit more bridgey. Maybe...
When you have verses like those other verses, I mean, that's a heck of a thing to have to live up to.
I suppose, but it just has to be something
that's
a little bit...
But you should still live up to it.
Yeah. it could just be something that's a little bit different melodically, or I think the chord, you could move it up to a different key or something like that.
I have an idea. May I just share this? You've put the whole turning point of the song in the bridge. Mm-hmm. It may not be the place to put it. Mm-hmm. And maybe do a middle eight earlier, turn it around and come back to a verse that pays it off. Because the whole point of this song, like you're repeating about, I don't want to do this, your daddy didn't know how to love you is your last verse, right? Mm-hmm. And the kind of space my love can't erase. So you're saying the same thing. I don't mean it's redundant. Yeah. I mean that it's theme and variation on this thing, this feeling, this thing of trying to fix somebody. However, the real turnaround is, I want to, right? You're saying, I don't want to be this, I don't want to be this, I don't want to be your magic woman, which you did beautifully with the stuff, right? But now you're saying, I want to know. Mm-hmm. Bridge doesn't feel like the right place to spring that on people, it seems to me. Or you could go to modulate to a different chorus. You've also, it seemed to me you're playing two chords through the whole song, G and C. Was there a
G,
minor?
C and D.
There was a third
a
one.
A D, there's no minor?
No.
See, so you could move to
chord
a minor
substitution.
Phase. Yeah, you could move to a circle of fifths. Mm-hmm. You could move to a minor key in the turnaround. Need some drammer, because if you rewrote the bridge,
it's very country.
Made the second half stronger and made that a verse form, and then ended with just half. Like, when you come back to your chorus, I wouldn't give them the whole chorus again.
Right.
I would just give them a little bit and out, because you've hit your turning point. Mm-hmm. You know, established theme, variation, turning point, crisis, denouement. Your denouement is just that, a quick out.
I had one other thought. Is
structurally speaking.
I just want to riff off of that for a second, if I may, Phil. I think that's a good idea, Bruce. I think the alternative to that is you've got the turnaround, like he's saying. Like, you started talking about what you want. Mm-hmm. Make that the outro. So make it a verse, chorus, and then end with that outro. You know, go to a different chord structure, go to a different melody, and make it an outro that is brighter and that is
because the
more,
shift is taking
because,
place.
Because if you're going to take the shift lyrically as to what instead of the negative, you're going to the positive, and just end on a positive.
Hmm. Oh, that you could don't have to come back to the chorus then, because that's the old story. Anyway,
one thing is on your very last OOOs, you do something in the earlier on in the melody where you kind of, it sort of almost resolves, where you sort of go down. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if you did the last OOO reflecting that, because it kind of just finishes off the song in a really nice way. Mm-hmm. That just kind of stuck out to me.
I just want to make one other minor point.
Yep.
The very first line, I wouldn't say Don't Want to Be Your Magic Woman right off the bat, because you bring it into the chorus enough times afterwards, I would try something different, something a little more
I was
subtle
disappointed that you gave beginning. It away at the top too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You said it, you had a reason.
Then when you hit the when you hit the chorus, it's not as, it doesn't hit you with the same impact, because that is the encapsulation of everything.
But let's
you're
ask
saying.
The author, what was your intention of introducing it right away, or was it conscious?
No, I had this experience where I was like, an actual real life experience where I just was thinking in my head, like, I don't want to be your magic woman. And then I was like, that's a song.
Well, that's a chorus.
You know?
Oh, that's a chorus.
You know, and so that when I was doing my early morning iPhone thing, like, that just came out. It was like, I don't want to be your magic woman.
Ooh,
and then this is why, and this is why, and that kind of thing. In the
process. The other possibility is start with that line because it's so powerful, and write a different chorus. Have your chorus
that was my
your refrain
first thought,
be something.
But then I thought it is such an encapsulating idea about the whole song.
Yeah, well, you can look at that. Mm-hmm.
Then
either way,
yeah. Options.
We've had lots of feedback here.
Yeah, thank you.
You'll have to listen back to the show to catch all this stuff and take notes.
All right, Mr. Bruce, what
would
you tell our listeners
If you're just joining us tonight, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We're on CJRU 1280 AM, and tonight our guest is the lovely, talented, extremely talented Sonia Seiler. I'm a little biased. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts as you have tonight at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. It's feedback@songtalk.ca is our email, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio right on our resources page, which is at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on the Song Talk Radio shows in the future, coming weeks, we have, next week, May 10th, we have Scott Neary, who was recently here supporting Stephen Tate's
last week.
Awesome jazz guitarist, and we found out he sings. So tune into that show. He's very talented. And May 17th, we have a friend of Sonia's, Addie Dennison, will be here. Now, I'll be out of town on assignment that week, but we'll have a substitute in for me. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's Sunday, May 29th from 1 to 4 at the Transat Club. It's free to join on meetup, and it's free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the juicy details. Over to you, Neil.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, so we're going to get a second song here from Sonia. And by the way, she's playing these live in the studio. It's going to be on our Song Talks YouTube channel.
And speaking of playing live, you've got some gigs coming up.
I do have some gigs coming up.
Tell us.
I will tell you. I'm playing May 15th at the Tennessee, which is down on Queen Lansdowne kind of area. And then on May 31st, I'm playing Voodoo Child Cafe and Cocktail Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric Sorensen and I have a gig coming up on June 25th at the Black Swan, which is on the Danforth.
Oh, so, very nice.
Great. Is it on before 11 p.m.?
We're going to play the whole night. So
that's great.
So you can show up at 5 in the morning if you like.
That's right.
No, you're going to play, but starting what time?
Like probably eight? Like 8 kind of thing. 8 till close.
See, I have this problem because I start falling asleep about 10, no matter where I am. Right. So performers are really insulted. I don't know why. I don't snore. At least in clubs, right?
In the club, yeah.
No, but seriously.
That's
like
what Red Bull is for.
Oh, I'll have some Red Bull and some strong coffee. But no, that's great. I love coming out to see your shows. Great. We'll do that.
Thanks.
So before you play this next song, Sonia, the title of the song is I've Got to Tell the Truth, bracket, or This Wouldn't Be the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be one phrase?
Yeah.
Or is that... I just want to throw this out to the room. How do you guys feel about titles with brackets in them?
You know, it's... being the title guy.
Yes.
title expert.
This used to be a very, very common thing back when everyone had albums, because you'd have your, you know, one or two hits, you know, that would be sort of written like hits and titled like hits. And then you'd have a lot of other stuff in the center, which would be kind of more exploratory or sometimes downright filler. And you could actually have songs that actually had titles that would be this complex, and it would work really well.
Today in the world of singles,
it's a tougher sell. You should still do it if you feel strongly about it.
But when you play this live, how do you introduce it?
This is really my first or second time
playing
live, right?
Well, I would just actually call it. Or This Wouldn't Be the Blues. Well, I'll tell you the story behind the song.
Okay. Because that's where the title came from. It's actually a Willie Dixon quote. He's an old blues guy. Uh-huh. And I have I'm pretty sure this might be on your resources page, the Big Thick Songwriters on Songwriting book. Is it?
I don't know.
No,
oh, it should be.
It will be.
It's an excellent book. It's about like 3 or 4 inches thick, and it's a lot of interviews with really amazing songwriters, musicians.
Oh, I saw that on your coffee table.
Yeah, you saw it on my coffee table.
Yeah.
So I was perusing through that one day and reading the interview with Willie Dixon, and he said something like, it's got to be fact or the truth or it wouldn't be the blues. And I thought, well, wouldn't that be a great concept for a blues song, you know? Mm-hmm. And then so I took that one and filled in the rest.
It's a great lyric line for a song. I think Phil has been talking a lot about the days of, that we're in the current day of release on the internet. Mm-hmm. So every song's a single for download. And when someone hears your song, they want to tell their friend to sing it. Like, you got to hear this, wouldn't be the blues. They'd probably say, wouldn't be the blues, they'd probably call it, right?
Yeah.
And if that line, we'll find out if that line lands in the song very much. But that's great. That's a great, how do you say in English? Source material.
Yeah.
To read interviews with songwriters like.
Yeah, I find it fascinating.
Just take their words right off the page.
Thank you, Willie.
Thanks, Willie.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, here we go.
I drew a hard line when we met that day. Swore we would just be friends, wouldn't let love get in the way. And I drew the short straw, yeah, I lost in the end. 'Cause I saw you as a lover, you only knew me as a friend. I don't mean to complicate this, and I don't mean to confuse, but it's got to be the truth, or this wouldn't be the blues. I never mentioned that I felt this way. I thought you knew you'd win, and that's why you didn't play. And I drew the bad cards, oh, but I didn't blame. When I saw the future, but you didn't see the same. I don't mean to complicate this, and I don't mean to confuse, but I've got to tell the truth, or this wouldn't be the blues. I got no direction where to go from here. They say that the heart's a map, but the markings are never clear. So I'll draw a new road, one where I get to drive. Leave my blues to the radio, let myself come alive. I don't mean to come complicate this, and I don't mean to confuse, but I've got to tell the truth, or this wouldn't be the blues, or this wouldn't be the blues, or this wouldn't be the blues. So this wouldn't be the blues.
All right.
Yeah. Brilliant song.
Another cool song.
Thank you.
It is just so hooky, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to tell the truth, or this wouldn't be the blues. No,
yeah.
Sonia Seiler.
I mean, I love the way I don't mean to complicate this. It has just got such a wonderful hook. This chorus is so strong. And I really like how your first line is kind of rushed, which is something you don't normally do with most of your songs, which is really nice. It worked really well. And it kind of makes the song really stand out.
What do you mean by rushed?
It's like, I drew a hard line.
Really, what to do?
Because you normally sort of do more kind of lyrical sort of do-do-do-do-do.
Right.
And it's kind of a bit more of a kind of a rhythmical.
The whole song's got that feel.
Da-da-da-da.
It's another 3-4.
Mm-hmm. Is it 3-4?
It's 3-4.
Yeah, so that's about that vibe. Yeah, the feel of it came a little bit from the Patsy Cline song. Which one? He's Got You, that one.
So we didn't touch on this on the last song, but I want to point it out on this song, because with both of them, I mean, your melodies are incredibly, I don't know how to quite describe them.
Perfect?
Vivid. Well, perfect, but something a little more specific than perfect. they're very vivid. You know, like they're colorful in and of themselves. You go high, you go low. The overall shape to a line is very elegant, mm-hmm. I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just overall, just wanted to point that out.
Just perfect melodies all the way through.
Yeah, awesome melodies. I would really encourage you to play around with some more chords.
Yeah, that was my point. You're a GCD. You're throwing an A minor and a D7th, like in a turnaround, right?
And this song needs to end on a 7th.
I really, like, to be honest, I'm still working it out, and there's even a part where I thought maybe to go for a bridge, because I was playing it actually with Eric and Liz and Andrew and our other friend Dave the other day, and we sort of added in a bridge, but it wasn't ready for performance yet. So
do you ever use a pick?
I haven't tried that
yet.
Okay,
let me show you. I'm just going to show you. Folks can watch at home. Just show you.
Listen.
Because you're doing this, right? Only softly. Use your nail. You can do this. You can do a muffled sound. Da, 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 da. And it's all without a pick. What I'm asking for is some variety in your guitar to bring it up to the, you know, I'm not asking you to go for guitar lessons and become, you know, John Mayer or anything. But the thing is, with a little bit of maybe sit with a guitar player like myself or Phil probably and play with some different uses of a soft pick, a hard pick, because you got a strong enough voice that I don't have a pick with me, but this is, I'm using for you folks at home, I'm just using the flat of my nail of my index finger against the string, so I'm just doing it. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, that's one of the issues when you
bite, right?
That's one of the issues that you will run into when you're playing an instrument that you don't know how to play, because it's going to limit part of that newness is that it's limiting your choices, so you kind of work within the choices that you have.
Right.
So what it's a great thing to write, you know, because I think especially when you're as a strong writer as you, whereas, you know, you come up with these great songs, but then actually, you know, team up with like a guitar player and they can just add little bits to it to kind of expand your palette, but your strong ideas are basically from that limited palette.
Right, right, and your rhythm is good. I think you just need to try some stuff. Like, here's with a pick that I do a hard line. Whole different feel. The other thing, Sonia, is when you do a gig and you do more than three songs, and if they're all
G-Z.
With a thumb, very soft, people will be wanting some shift or change. That's all. And I could sit with you just for an hour or so, and we could come up with some of the muting stuff. Back picking, right?
I think it's also a little bit more than that. It's also about playing with the chords themselves, right? Like the GC,
different chords, for sure.
You can move off the GC, A minor, an E minor, a D.
Yeah, but
like
I mean,
that.
I think if you are going to go to an instrument that you don't know how to play, part of that method, part of that whole point is limiting your palette.
So that's
what you know.
You know more chords than that. You know some minor chords.
These two songs happen to be the GC songs that I've got. I've got more.
We got another tweet from Eric.
We got another tweet
from Eric. Says, love that one, and bridge. Eric, I don't know what you mean.
He means the bridge that we worked on.
Oh,
I worked on that song with him and
So is it a, is there a different bridge that he's talking about? Or?
There's a bridge that I just didn't know well enough practiced to come and play. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
That'll give it a little. Does it shift into a different chord?
Yes. It uses a B minor and an E minor.
Ooh.
There
we
go. Yes.
Now we're getting
that.
That's some of them 50 cent chords.
Yeah.
I will, Eric. I promise.
Is this in? This is not in a 12-bar blues progression, though, is it at all?
Not
it's
a GC, classic GC, one.
But the turnaround is blues. Is it the A minor D7?
It's GC A minor D7.
Right. So if you're doing it as a 12-bar, it would be da 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 da.
And you don't even necessarily have to do it exactly as a 12-bar blues. You can just take inspiration from that notion and twist
it to your own.
It's got a
bluesy feel to it, you know?
And do your own interpretation of it.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome to have, like, harmonica on it and some electric guitar on top noodling and whatnot.
So let's get together sometime and play around with the chords. Mm-hmm. Write a list of all the chords. And the other thing is when you're, like, this was great tonight for our listeners to know about variety. When you're bringing two songs to a radio show, for example, what it might have been good to bring a song in D mm-hmm. or a song in A. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whoa, you know, something for the ear, totally different, right?
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So especially when you do a gig and you want to line up your keys of your songs properly. So you obviously probably know this already. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run three songs in the key of G one after another.
Yeah, or in the same time signature.
Yeah, moving around. Yeah. But, I mean, you're such a naturally great writer. I just grabbing my lyrics on the floor here, folks. I really love your lyrics because you say, like, you're writing more straight ahead. Well, mm-hmm. listen to this. The Hearts, did you say a roadmap? Did you change it? Or
no,
just a map?
A map. Yeah.
Okay. I like Hearts a roadmap because then a new road plays off that. But they say that the heart's a map. The markings aren't clear. I'll draw a new road and I get to drive. I'll leave my blues to the radio. But, you know, once you get into a metaphor, like, you're just totally in it and it's fun mm-hmm. and it works. Not only are you driving, but you've got the radio on in the car.
Yeah.
Right?
And, and it's playing the blues.
So,
yeah.
It's great. It's
but
great.
I like the rhythm of, they say that the heart's a roadmap, but the markings are never clear, right? Just throw the metaphor right in. And then I love, but I'm going to go on a new road. I'm not following this map, right? And, yeah, true the bad cards. I mean, you're always throwing metaphors and analogies, like drawing the short straw. And how come you said, I saw you as a lover, you only knew me as a friend? Why didn't he not see you as a friend? Like, I saw you as a lover, why didn't you see me as a friend?
Yeah, it was more, I liked the way it sounded better because it uses similar sounds in the words.
And like, friend?
Saw a lover.
So,
well, and friend gives you the
right. So, no, because I sing Drew and New.
Mm-hmm.
And then So
it was for the sake of rhyme and prosody.
Just feeling prosody, exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, prosody. Yeah.
Prosody.
But I think the essential conflict in the relationship was that you saw him as a possible lover and he couldn't see that in you. So it's like two people not seeing with the same glasses mm-hmm. or seeing with the same eyes. So I would just say, if I was going to rewrite it, I'd try to find a way to get that parallel there because there's a conflict in the point of view on the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Once again, a great song from a relationship
that's not working. Hold it. Where is that?
What? At the first verse. Because I saw you as a lover, you only knew me as a friend. But he only knew you as a friend because he couldn't see you as a lover. He couldn't imagine that? Or,
yeah, essentially. Yeah.
Or you didn't make a move fast enough. I don't know. Women are allowed to say
that. I think that's a perfect line. I wouldn't change a thing.
Don't change it.
I think
see,
it's.
Don't
I,
change it.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Yeah, no, because I think it works perfectly within the rhymes. And it's clear. It's not like it's, you know. And I think it's it actually describes that situation, as I think we've all been in at one time or another, really, really clearly. So I, so don't change it.
Don't go changing.
Don't do everything.
Bruce try
says.
To please me. No. But these are all just feedback.
Yeah,
and we'd love to hear your feedback out there in Radio Land.
Yes,
you know, you're welcome to tweet or email or
We are monitoring the
Phil
stream.
Phil gets lonely.
I do.
Nicole is tweeting rapidly here. She's a
so when you read that was it, Willie Nelson, who was it?
Willie Dixon.
Mm-hmm. You came up with the title first. So was the idea kind of there already? You wanted to write a song about this subject, and the title just happened to fit? Or
no, that was one where it was just that title, and I had it for quite a while. Like I'd say, maybe even a couple months. that mm-hmm. title, and then I didn't know how to relate it to my life in terms of a blues song.
Okay.
And then my life worked out in such a way where there was some material to work
that
with.
Title now.
Sometimes, Neil, you have to wait for the bad relationship to come along.
Yeah.
You know, and for it all to go screwy.
Exactly.
Not that I would know, because I have no idea about that.
That's an example of like something that I put in the pot in the back burner of my mind, you know, and it just sort of percolated there until I was ready to write it.
Yeah.
So where to from here? What are your ambitions or goals in your songwriting? Are you going to stay on this track? Are you going to hit Nashville? I know you had that plan. Is that still in your dreams?
Yes, I would love to go to Nashville at some point. I think before that, I'd like to get some tunes recorded. So mm-hmm. I'm going put out an EP with maybe my 6 best songs.
All right.
Boy, you've got a lot of great songs. It's going to be hard to narrow down to 6.
I feel blessed.
You could do B-sides.
Have you joined the Songwriters Association of Canada?
I have not yet, no.
That might be a good thing. Turns out that our friend Patrick Ballantyne has just got elected to the board there.
Oh, great.
That's true, yes.
Did you ever get involved in that Nashville North thing?
I did go see a concert of theirs, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a group in Toronto here who go to Nashville on a regular basis, and they've struck a deal with a recording studio down there or something where they can get demos done really inexpensively. And you go into the studio, and there's, you know, Neil Young's drummer. He's having a day off, so he comes in and sits in, and you don't know who you're going to get. It's like potluck. But in Nashville, apparently, the pot's really good.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant that you're likely to get a great musician. Sorry, it's before 9. Yeah. You'll get a great musician, and you might want to know about that when you're down there.
Mm-hmm.
You could record a demo down there. What a trip that would be.
That would be cool.
You've got a SoundCloud page right now. Is there anything up there that people can check out?
There is one link. Actually, that's a lie. There's 2 links. There's a song that we worked on together.
Oh, right, okay.
That's uploaded there.
There you go.
In a totally different vein. And then I have another song of mine called Show Me Where It Hurts, which I just recorded in my living room. You can hear the creaky floor and the streetcars going by kind of thing.
That's great.
Sound of the 6.
Exactly, Sound of the 6. Exactly.
You used to call me on your cell phone.
Okay, so what's that link again? SoundCloud.com?
It's soundcloud.com/Sonja, that's SONJA-Seiler, SEILER.
And you also have a YouTube page, is that correct?
I do have a YouTube page, yes. You can just look up my name, Sonja Seiler, or it's under... I'm not sure what the actual name of it is. I thought it was Sonja Seiler Music, but...
I'm sure you search it.
Now, do you have a website that people can go to as well, or...?
I just bought the domain recently, so there's nothing up there yet, but there will be.
There will be
soon? In the next little while. Yes.
What about collaborations, Sonja? Have you got any collaborations in the work, or have you tried that?
Yes.
With Neil, you've done it.
Yeah, so. I've been collaborating. Do you know Alana Hart at all? She's an amazing singer-songwriter, and she and I have been working together. We started writing a song, doing sort of a co-write, like your typical Nashville kind of co-write of thing.
Cool. What was your experience of that?
I loved it. I really loved it because she knows what she's doing, and I felt very much in good hands in terms of like how to collaborate with someone and how it works, because I'd never done that really before. Mm. And
she got some advanced skills beyond yours in terms of the guitar playing or
music? Yeah, she's an excellent guitarist.
Okay,
yeah.
that can really pump up a session. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And she's got a producer's mind as well, too. So, she's awesome.
I find when I'm with someone who has more experience in some area, whether it's in the playing or the tune or the melody or anything like that or whatever, that it bumps up my game a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then the other night, like where Eric's mentioning the bridge thing, we got together, him and his other band members, Liz and Andrew, and then Dave, who's also showed up to the songwriters meetup, the 5 of us got together and had sort of an impromptu songwriter session where we each played a song and then everyone gave feedback about the song and we collaborated a little bit with harmonies and phrasing and the way the songs were set up. It was really great.
Oh, wow. That's
amazing.
That's incredible.
That's just like our songwriter's roundtable.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Yeah,
to that.
A little more collaborative, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was
great
really
idea.
Fun. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of that kind of thing and also just playing songs that are new with other people and then hearing their new songs and just providing feedback and that. Like, Addie and I have been doing that Brock Simpson and I have been doing that as well.
Great, so, yeah. Great. This is a great community, and this is what happens when you come to just another plug for the Songwriters Roundtable on Sunday, May 29th, is it? What happens from that? Well, first of all, Neil, Phil, and I met there just about 3 years ago or so, and Phil was working
more than 3 years ago,
maybe four years ago.
We've been doing this for 3 years.
Some time ago.
Yeah. Well, some time ago, Neil, Phil was there being a facilitator, and then I arrived, and Belinda asked me to be a facilitator. Then you came along, and you were a facilitator, and then Ryerson approached us to do this show. What I'm saying is, if you come to these roundtables, you meet people that you can write with, and I had to warm my heart so much. I just want to say a couple back. At the end of the session, everybody, a whole bunch of people stayed, like about half the crowd stayed.
Yeah, that was great.
And I looked out across the room and there was three people around the piano working on one person's tune, two people with a guitar, like totally engaged in a rewrite, and then three people, show me that chord. And it was like, you can't create that moment. It was a totally magical moment that comes out of that atmosphere of safety and everybody really wanting to help each other and a real community. So you want to come out and get a feel for that if you're a songwriter.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Sonia, how do you meet the people that you collaborate with?
Through the Songwriters Meetup.
Oh, really?
That's where I met Eric. That's where I met Addie.
Oh, okay.
That's where you met us.
That's where I met you guys.
But your open mics, so you should tell people about your open mics, the people in Toronto. What open mics do you favor?
Yeah, I really love the one at the Free Times because it's very welcoming.
There's several on Monday nights.
And there's one on Saturday afternoons as well, which I've gotten to once, but usually I work Saturdays, so I'm at that one less. And then there used to be a great one at the Axis on Tuesday nights, but that's now changed to, I think it's like the Black Cat or something Cat.
Oh, is that up at on Dundas West and Key Jane?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Axis is Dundas West in the junction.
Yeah, Axis is, but now it's changed places. So they're changing it as of May 10th, I believe.
Oh,
so,
right. But you also go to the Transac on Monday night.
And sometimes I go to the Transac, which I like. That's sort of like a very chill vibe.
Very
chill. Candlelight and a bunch of, usually it's all men, actually. There's Thursday night at Dave's, which I like as well.
Where's Dave's?
That's Dave's up at St. Clair and Christie.
Oh, okay.
And then also Monday nights, but a little bit later, which is really fun, is the Painted Lady on Ossington and Dundas. And there you get to go and play your songs with a full band. And they have often they'll have a saxophone player, a bassist, a guitarist, a drummer, keyboards,
and they just play along with you on the spot?
They're that good. They're amazing.
You don't need charts.
No, you don't need charts. You just basically say, hey, this is my song, these are the chords, and they'll play with you. And that was my first time ever, actually, a couple weeks back when I went playing with
what was that like?
It was very cool and very nerve-wracking.
You know what, I think I hear the band coming in.
I think they're wanting to go home. You'll have to come back.
Yeah,
I would love to.
Definitely. Okay, so thanks once again to Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'd like to thank CJRU, the Scope of Ryerson, for putting up with us. Thanks to Nicole DiDonato for so deftly handling our social
media. Thank you, Nicole.
Awesome stuff. And last but not least, thank you to our home listeners, or wherever you are, listening on the go. And please let us know what you think. Feedback at songtalk.ca, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Songtalk Radio. Stop by the website, songtalk.ca. Listen to archives of the show, watch the live video performances, check out the resources page, check out our blog. We got a whole whack of stuff there.
Send us messages.
We're everywhere.
You can also subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. On Twitter, you can follow Phil.
At Focus Creative.
You can follow Bruce.
At Bruce Harrett.
You can follow Janice at Janice O Tweets. You can follow Nicole.
Nicole K. DiDonato.
You can follow Sonia.
At kitchen_boudoir.
Boudoir. And you can follow...
Dirty Kitchen.
You can follow me at Mondo Art. And that's about all the time we have. I'm Neil Modi. Keep on writing and have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.